It's 8:07. We're back to O'Brien, Rock 102.
Partly sunny today and going up into the mid-60s. It is 41 right now in downtown Springfield.
Not to keep harping on where things were, but I have another guy, same guy that told me about the Caldors where the Home Depot is in Westfield.
Yeah.
That Roy Rogers in Westfield had originally been a Hardee's.
Hardee's.
A Hardee's.
Well, Steve got interesting information from someone, and I get this makes a lot of sense, I suppose. The reason the Caldor or the Home Depot was built backwards so that the front of the store is actually behind it is because of the floodplain. Its proximity to the Westfield River was that if it flooded, they preferred it flood the parking lot rather than flood the store.
Well, that makes perfect sense, doesn't
it? That makes incredible sense.
Of course. It's actually very wise engineering of that space.
Despite the fact that Home Depot now would be the very place one would probably go to buy sandbags, but
or places or the place to go to buy stuff for a flood. On the other hand, if you were working at a Caldors or managing that particular store, a flood would be the best thing you could hope for.
Well, hey, listen, we used to try to run one every week in Enfield. We just weren't close enough to the Connecticut River. So there's like a whole bunch of little things I wanted to talk about that don't necessarily deserve all the time by itself. I saw a story over the weekend because of the pandemic, obviously. The governor of Rhode Island, this is kind of interesting that they can do this. The governor of Rhode Island has ordered all businesses, these are private businesses or whatever, to close their break rooms.
So
close the break room.
Okay. I mean, interestingly enough, I had to get my car serviced the other day, and I am not at any obligation to tell you where, but they typically have an area that people can sit at while they wait for service.
Sure.
That whole area was
a waiting
blocked
room,
off.
If you will.
A waiting room. Not that much different from a break room, but it was completely blocked off.
Yeah.
So you couldn't have any access to it. You could sit in the showroom of that dealership, but you could not sit in the what would typically be the waiting area for service.
Couldn't get a coffee. Couldn't get a Twix bar.
Actually, no. I believe the coffee.
Couldn't get a donut.
I believe even the coffee service was canceled.
Yeah.
Because of COVID.
Yeah. Wouldn't surprise me.
I know.
All break rooms in all businesses. It's kind of weird, but like you said, the showroom still open, but at least they socially distance. That's the problem with going anywhere now. We went to last night to the final Biggie food thing at the log cabin. And I told you, I went there like a month ago. Went there last night. And again, they only allow as many people as they have chairs. And the chairs and the tables are socially distanced.
Right.
There's no people standing around. You can't walk up to the bar and order a drink. Everything has to be waitress served and waitress ordered. It's boring, man. It's boring. I'm trying to remember. I saw something on TV over the weekend of a place that I can't remember where it was, but I know I've been there 1,000 times. And the dance floor is completely empty because dancing is not allowed. And the seats.
It's like we're living in Footloose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the seats are not even on the dance floor. The seats are where the seats would normally be because they don't want you sitting within 20 feet of a band. You know, the band was playing on stage,
right?
And then the dance floor is empty, and then the seats are where they normally are because people singing are obviously spitting out aerosols at greater lengths than people talking.
We went to Theodore's last week. Had an early dinner, kind of a late lunch. We were downtown anyway, and then went over there. And we hadn't been inside Theodore's in quite a while.
They've taken their outside tables in, haven't they?
No, they had the tables out last week.
Oh, I thought
no.
Well, I don't know what part of the week it was because I think by this weekend they were gone.
It could very well have been. But when we went, when you walk into the building, if you've been to Theodore's, on the left hand side there's a divider right beyond the bar, and there's always been tables and chairs there for people to sit down. These high top chairs.
Yeah.
Those are all gone, and they removed some of the chairs and the other part, on the other side of the divider, and they put all the tables and chairs on the stage. which makes it very hard for people to perform.
Well,
but
they can't.
But on the
they
other
probably
hand,
probably don't have bands in there.
My food was terrific. I have to tell you, my my short ribs were about the size of a human shoe.
Fantastic. I was told yesterday that there's going to be, I don't remember the date or when, or well, that would be the same thing. But I ran into some of the guys from Trailer Trash, and you know they almost never play anyway, pandemic or no pandemic. But they're playing.
You got a better shot of seeing the Beatles get back together and see Trailer Trash play out,
especially with the pandemic. They're going to be playing a drive-in performance up in Brimfield. I think one of the fairgrounds. Somewhere
Bob,
in the next couple of weeks.
Bob Marley, who we've had on the show a shmillion times, has been doing a bunch of those drive-through shows around, you know, Maine, New Hampshire, mostly around New England. He doesn't travel very far and doesn't really need to, but he's been doing mostly those kinds of shows where, you know, people are they're in their cars. Maybe they got lawn chairs out like they're at a drive-in movie.
Right. There's a certain distance around your car that you can come out of the car and put a chair and sit there. Yeah.
And he's making it happen.
Biden did an appearance somewhere over the weekend where he did that. He was up on stage giving a speech. This is a little irritating. This would drive me crazy. People were using their car horns as applause. See that?
I know. But
that's going to get tired real fast.
Well, I mean, it's not a permanent thing. I mean,
no.
It's at some point, you know, political rallies and comedy shows and musical appearances, you won't have to lay on the horn.
Yeah, you flash your headlights though. Let's not make this a noise, an ear piercing event. Let alone, I don't know if you saw this, Oxford University has a possible vaccine that they have come out with now for the COVID. Unfortunately, it will turn you into a monkey.
Really?
That is the Russian propaganda. As the world is trying to fight the novel coronavirus, authorities are warning people against fake news and misinformation, but a campaign in Russia is taking a shot at Oxford University's possible vaccine, and the campaign is taking the nation by storm. It started in Russia trying to discredit the vaccine being developed by Oxford University to spread fear about the vaccine by claiming that people who use it will turn into chimpanzees. And they even have a picture of Boris Johnson walking down Downing Street, only his head has turned into that of Bigfoot.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't think that was scientifically possible.
And they've also got, let's see, another image showed humans lining up outside an AstraZeneca tent, apes and chimpanzees leaving the tent from the other side. People coming into the tent as normal humans, coming back out the other side as monkeys.
You have to stop grabbing the Weekly World News at the grocery store.
This is right off the internet.
Yeah.
And the popular Uncle Sam is also featured with a message saying, I want you to take a monkey vaccine. So,
well, he's an innocent primate.
Well, so am I. We don't actually have any chimpanzees involved at all in the process of making the vaccine, says the people at Oxford, because it's all about the virus rather than animals it might more commonly infect.
We're not even testing on animals, never mind turning into them.
Although,
you know, having said that, there are some people that are right on the border.
Sure there are. You're damn right.
They're on that cusp. It could go either way.
And then something else I saw this morning on the Today Show, which I couldn't hear it, so I didn't get a full appreciation of what it was. But in Brazil, apparently they have restarted concerts. And I believe, I didn't see the full shot of it, so I'm not sure, but I believe these were indoor venues. And what they do is, obviously, like I just described a few minutes ago, the front rows do not get close enough to the stage to worry about the aerosols being put out by the singing performers on the stage. But it's like box seats. It's you know, everything is split into boxes. All the boxes are 6 feet apart from each other. And if you go with a group of people that you live with, you get a box. You can, like, you know, you would be able to get a box for five. Mm-hmm. Someone, Steve, might want to get a box for three. And I don't know whether they have, you know, varying prices based on the number of people per box. But it looked like an interesting concept of how to restart concerts. Although, again, you're ultimately, you're limiting the capacity probably down to at least 50%.
Oh,
and then
at
you have
least
to decide whether or not that's profitable.
Well, it's more profitable than not having anything at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
But nevertheless, I'm sure there are even, you know, bands or other artists that are probably lowering their price to perform.
Oh, yeah, they have to.
Simply because, yeah, there's no other choice.
And then the other thing I saw over the weekend, which was interesting, especially to someone like me, who just can't stand the winter. The Scandinavians are, let me see what he says. In the pandemic, rather than feeling depressed that the arrival of cold winter or cold weather will mean you'll be isolated indoors, try adopting a positive winter mindset. Oh, yeah.
I'm good sure luck with that.
Do that. Yeah.
They haven't met you yet, have they?
Scandinavia is some of the darkest, longest winters on Earth. And yet, the Scandinavians are consistently ranked as the happiest people in the world. In one particular area of Scandinavia, the sun doesn't rise at all for 2 months. They get at most a few hours of indirect daylight from the end of November to the end of January. And yet, they have very low rates of seasonal depression because they have learned to adopt positive winter mindsets. Research found positive wintertime mindsets are associated with well-being, including greater life satisfaction and more positive emotions. Once again, I'm out.
Well, you're out because, you know, you would be bringing a very westernized view of the wintertime. You know, mm-hmm. These are people, this is something they get used to. And I'm sure there are some people that can't stand it and they go and they don't come back. But the people that stay behind, you know, what choice do they have? Stay there and be miserable, or find yep. a way to deal with it and be happy. They have found a way to deal with it and be happy.
I've picked A almost all my life.
Yeah, well, that was ultimately a choice to
before
pick.
Before you dismiss the idea of outdoor winter fun, think of the cold weather traditions you may already have positive associations with, like tailgate parties, bonfires, ice skating. If you're properly bundled up, you can continue to see friends and relatives outdoors while making the effort to minimize coronavirus risk. I did see over the weekend, I was at a friend's and I saw a really nice fire pit. And I think I really want to put mine in I want to put one in my yard.
Mm-hmm.
Although she said, I said, you know, do you use this in January and February? And she said, no, it's really, you know, like a October, November, December kind of thing. But, you know, very nice in the ground fire pit
right.
with a circle of chairs that all go around it.
Right.
I think I'd like to put one in my yard.
See, I could see, well, I mean, not now, obviously, because COVID's going to be disrupting all of this stuff. But in any other winter, you know, I mean, I know you're not a big, you're not a skier. You're not the kind
not
of guy.
A skater.
Not a skater. You don't like to go outside.
Fish.
But you know what? I'm the kind of guy that could really enjoy my time sitting in a ski lodge drinking cocktails and hot toddies all day. I could learn to live with that. You know, with a nice thick sweater and just relaxing as if I've spent the entire day outside bamboozling everyone's perception of me.
Why don't you just stay home and drink there?
Well, yeah, I could do that too.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know,
seems
I do like the
easier.
But it's the social atmosphere of you know drinking out in public and then you know staying in a chalet at the ski resort.
Yeah,
you know that would be kind of nice.
They say that
sometimes just you know getting away from the depressing malaise of your own home is probably a good thing. I mean you don't want to be in. Cooped up all day in the house.
But I can't really do anything like
that. No, I know.
I can't
but
go somewhere else and sit inside.
But in a normal environment, you could and enjoy it just as much as you'd enjoy anything in November, December, and January.
Scandinavians say they have three strategies that they employ to help them get through the winter. One is to get outside. Once you're actually out there, something magical happens. The cold actually feels good. Although it could be a bit of a strain to get out, when you're first outside with good clothing, it always feels better than you thought it would. See? Not once. Not once has it ever felt better than I thought it would. You feel refreshed. Even short amounts of time spent outdoors improves your mood and your mental and physical health.
When you were a child, for example, and it would snow, and school would get canceled, or even if it didn't get canceled, let's say it snowed on a Saturday morning. Weren't you kind of excited about the idea of going outside and playing in the snow?
As a child, yes. Although we also, I don't remember how many winters it was for, but we lived in Rochester, New York, where
you get snow all the time.
Yeah.
Right.
And a lot more snow.
Hell yeah.
Although I was also smaller, so it probably felt like a lot more snow.
So what happened to that
childhood
wonder?
Somewhere as I became an adult. When the child thing went away, I became an adult, and that's when I began to...
Yeah, but you're not a real mature adult. So I'm saying you could still embrace that deep strand of childhood activity in your
nope.
heart somewhere and
no.
try to enjoy, like, go outside, make snow angels when we first get our first blizzard. Or a snowman. Make a snowman.
My snow angels have horns in them.
Yeah.
And my snowmen are incarcerated. They're all like prisoners somewhere.
Listen, I guess my work here is done. I tried and I failed.
Another one of their strategies is to make winter special and to appreciate winter.
Yes.
Oh man, I was so close to being perfectly lucky, you know, to be born an American, just a little too far north of the equator. But imagine if you grew up one day and you realized, oh my God. I'm in the coldest, darkest part of the earth. Couldn't my parents have just settled for making out?
No, you know? No. Wasn't
they had
be.
To go all the way.
It's 8:24 with Bax and O'Brien to Rock 102. Rock 102's 25 with Bax and O'Brien to Rock 102.
I will never say this in my life again, but I want to hear some Miley Cyrus music.
Why would you even remotely think of that idea?
I just saw it on the Today Show. I thought it was a whole bunch of songs. Last night during the NIVAs, N-I-V-A's, I'm not sure what that is, she did a cover. They made me think watching the Today Show that she did like an album of Cranberry covers, but she really only sang their one song, Zombie.
And
did that, and she did a set with that. She did The Cure's Boys Don't Cry.
Okay.
And also sang her own song. Yeah, they made it sound like she did a whole album of cranberries.
I don't even think she's eaten a whole can of cranberry sauce.
Last month, she did a copy of Hall & Oates' Man Eater on Jimmy Fallon's show.
Right.
But I wouldn't mind. I'm going to, later on, I'm going to check out her version of Zombie. I always liked the Cranberries.
I never cared for the Cranberries.
Well, I mean, I like their hits.
Their hit.
No, there was that. There was Dreams.
That's Fleetwood Mac.
That's about it.
It always sounded like Dolores O'Riordan was like hiccuping in the middle of those songs.
Especially in Zombie.
In Zombie. It's like, honey, have a drink of water or something. Yeah, you know, hold your breath for a little bit. Breathe slow. Let's see if you can
go up behind her and scare her.
It's something. Yeah. But you're hiccuping through the whole song. Didn't sound right to me.
And look what she died of. Hiccups.
I don't think she did. I thought she died of something different than that.
I'm not sure. Maybe it was a cover-up.
Terminal case of hiccuping.
Yeah.
It's 8:28 with Bax and O'Brien to Rock 102.
Trust. It's hard to earn and harder to keep. Home City Roofing.
9. We're back to O'Brien Rock 102. It's time for news. Here's local radio icon and first responder Steve Nagel.
Benvenidos, Quarantinos.
Muchos gracias, Premier Respondedor.
Sí, señor.
A New Hampshire judge has denied Vladimir Zhukovsky's bid to be released while he awaits trial in connection with a crash that left 7 motorcyclists dead. The 24-year-old Zhukovsky of West Springfield wanted a new bail hearing, and his lawyers were seeking his release under conditions, but a judge in New Hampshire denied the motion. Zhukovsky remains held after he was indicted on 7 counts of manslaughter, 7 counts of negligent homicide, and several other charges in connection with the June 21st of 2019 accident on Route 2 in Randolph that left 7 members of the Jarheads Motorcycle Club dead. Lawyers for Zhukovsky have argued his Miranda rights were violated by investigators who questioned him after the deadly crash. The judge determined those rights were not violated. Yeah, if you're asking somebody informational things about what just happened, that's not really violating your rights. Because you're not under arrest at that point.
If you're not under arrest or you're not considered a suspect and you haven't been Mirandized, then that's probably true. But
you know, this is a pretty lengthy story, but one of the defense methods that they're going for is that one of the motorcycle riders had a blood alcohol level of 0.135.
And then might have actually crossed the center line.
Right, but they have determined that Zhukovsky's truck was 1.5 feet over the center line in the eastbound lane.
I thought it was the other way around. I thought they found the motorcycle was 1.5 feet over the center line.
It took place over there. While the state police said Zhukovsky's truck was 1.5 feet over the center line and in the eastbound lane, the independent report said the crash took place directly over the center line.
Okay.
So.
Well.
But, I mean.
He's pulling a trailer as well. So we don't know whether the point of impact was the left front corner of the truck or might it have been also part of the trailer. Because the trailer started to come out from behind him. So, you know, it would have to be determined at point of impact who was where. So, I mean, that's why you have these reconstruction teams. It can get very, very technical. And if you had a biker, unfortunately, with an above legal alcohol level, although wasn't Zhukovsky also under the influence?
I thought he was.
I
thought he was on drugs or something. They had drugs in his system.
Yeah, that's not mentioned in the story.
Yeah.
It's just the blood alcohol level of the motorcycle rider.
Yeah.
A fire that burned tens of thousands of cubic yards of brush in threatened buildings that were 0.5 mile away has been mostly extinguished about 5 days after it started. By yesterday afternoon, the number of fire crews working at Bondi's Island was cut to about 25 from the 100 or more people who were battling the flames at the peak of the fire. Chief Alan Saroy from the Agawam Fire Department said, if I had to put a number on it, I would say we are 90 to 95% extinguished, with the remaining percentage not being consequential to public safety.
I got an email after the show on Friday from the chief of the... It's like a Berkshire County Regional Fire Department. And he was explaining how, you know, when they were saying on 22 News that they had people from, they had firefighters from as far as Peru and
all the way international firefighters.
South American firefighters were coming all the way up to New England.
They have a very detailed, a very involved mutual aid pact that, you know, some departments have certain pieces of equipment based on their kind of terrain. So, you know, a place like Peru might be more inclined to have the kind of heavy equipment or the tankers. I mean, even watching 22 this morning, you keep seeing this video of a fire truck from Three Rivers. You know, whoever has the bigger tankers, and especially when you're fighting a fire that doesn't have a close water source, you need tankers to be bringing water in. So it's a very extensive mutual aid agreement between all the cities and towns.
Now, last week when we were talking about this, you had mentioned that Hector Molina of 22 News had said that it was not Peru, but it was Carew, Massachusetts, which is, as we said, not an actual place in Massachusetts. There's Carew Street in Springfield and I believe Rod Carew, a former baseball player, probably passed through Springfield at one point to get to another game. But there is no Carew, Massachusetts. So then this morning, I get an instant message from Hector Molina.
No way.
Who heard us mention.
El Augusta, Hector Molina.
Exactly.
Yes.
And he says that he heard us talking about Carew, Massachusetts, and listens all the time in between live shots. So, Hector, if you're out there, thank you for listening and supporting the Bax and O'Brien Show on Rock 102.
Yeah, I was asked Friday if I wanted to have my number given to him so he could text me, and I said no.
Why? Did you really say no?
Yeah.
I'll give him my number.
I said Hector could instant message me anytime on Facebook or Facebook friends, for crying out loud. And today he hasn't stopped. He's been texting me all morning long.
That's why. See? That's what I remember telling my ex-wife that sometimes. Making friends, saying things to people. It's like putting a saucer of milk out on the back step because you know there's a stray cat in the neighborhood. You're never going to get rid of it.
Well, I don't have a problem with Hector. Seems like a perfectly – we've never met as far as I can tell. I think we've probably met up once, but, we never had a real conversation. Seems like a perfectly – nice guys, a little rambunctious is all.
Listen, my celebrity lunch crowd that I'm very proud to be a part of. They're getting up there, and Barry might not going to be around forever.
No,
we're going to need a new member to that group.
Yeah,
Hector, I would love to invite you out to a lunch without Bax.
Yeah. There's a whole other generation between Barry and Hector that I think you're bypassing.
Yeah, but I'm saying you get them young. You get a young buck in there, and they're like, you know what? You're going to be around for a while.
Yeah, but that generation in between. Yeah, and the generation in between, to me, is like, Tetimer and Lapis.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are the only two, and Adam Stremko, those are the only guys still hanging out. Anyone in between Hector Molina and a Tetimer, they've all gone elsewhere. They all moved on.
Yeah, and I got news for you. Hector won't be here long either.
I don't know about that. I think Hector's got the kind of juice that could make him the dean of Western Mass News. Western Mass News till 22.
I could see him being around forever.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I could see him moving on to a better place, like most of them would.
Hey, by the way, you know what Barry made me for my birthday last week?
Egg salad?
Kale soup.
How was it?
It was absolutely delicious. Delicious.
Was there a bean in it? Do you have beans?
Beans, kale, broth, whatever goes into that. This guy knows what he's doing when it comes to food.
I did a first yesterday, and it was not really all that big of a success. First time ever in my life I tried guacamole.
And? You're 60 years old, almost 61. Yeah. You've never tried guacamole.
Never tried guacamole.
And you didn't like it.
It was just not a powerful enough taste to make me go, wow, that's really good.
Did you buy a store-bought brand, or was this at a restaurant?
It was a restaurant.
Okay.
It was a restaurant that I was told was very good, made very good guacamole. The person who gave it to me endorsed it and said it was one of the finest guacamoles she'd tasted.
Okay.
And perhaps I didn't use enough on my tortilla chip to really appreciate the flavor.
Did you just glide the chip along and just only the final edge was covered in it?
There was a slight accumulation of guacamole on the chip.
So I could see that in a store-bought brand not having any flavor. I've been through that hell and back. But a well-made guacamole is very flavorful.
Wow. Well,
garlic, unfortunately. And lime and the delicious buttery avocado.
Yeah. Didn't do it for me on the first try, unlikely to be a second. Hmm. And kale's another thing. I've never tried. I have had no desire to. I can't even imagine what a kale soup must be. I don't even know what a kale looks like.
Well, kale is like a broad-leafed green.
It's like a spinach.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought it was white.
No. Kale is green. Sometimes there's a stem that could be like a reddish or almost to like a, the point of like a purplish hue. But yeah, no, it's a green. It's a green.
Well, I don't want a green leaf soup.
It's delicious.
It's fantastic.
Though. Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, the Portuguese make a kale-based soup. That is, it's a national treasure.
And that's the thing. Barry's not even Portuguese.
I know.
But he knows how to make the Portuguese delicacy.
He spent a good deal of time in Rhode Island, in Providence.
Yeah.
You know, working down there. I'm sure he was introduced to it there, or maybe even before. You know, gone to a place in Ludlow and had the kale soup, and whoo, man, that's good stuff.
Providence is known for the large Portuguese
population.
There's
a huge Portuguese population in Rhode Island.
I always thought it was like an Italian thing.
Well, it's not one of the sections.
There's also a large French Canadian population there too. It's like Europe over there.
Barry also just reached out to me and said you'd invite Hector before Kelly Reardon. And I said, I haven't said it yet, but my answer to that would be she wouldn't go to any of these slop houses that we frequent.
First of all, I don't think you could carry on a conversation with Kelly Reardon.
No, I wouldn't be able to. I'd be like,
you like to go out sometimes?
You like chicken tenders?
You haven't seen this, John, but at Barry's... At Barry's retirement party, Kelly Reardon is there, and you know Steve's yucking it up and chit-chatting with everybody, and you know there's people heckling him who may have had too much to drink that night, and then Kelly Reardon shows up, and the Red Sea parts, and it's like light of God is shining on Kelly Reardon.
She knew who I was.
Yeah. And then you
Steve
open up
just
your
stood there and wet himself.
He absolutely did. He sounded like a knuckle dragon moron trying to talk to this beautiful woman.
I'm the guy who says you're pretty on the radio all the time.
You're pretty weather lady.
You are pretty lady. Would you like to have my phone number?
I don't know what it is. I just, for some reason, I can talk a big game while I'm doing this job, but then when I meet somebody face-to-face, I'm like,
Especially somebody like that, somebody you're so enamored with.
Myth Ridden, write this down. It's my phone number. 2.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It used to be 6.
Now it's just 2.
You want to text me sometime?
Hey, I'm getting I'm getting word that and this seems unlikely because I didn't know such a thing existed, that someone in Chicopee had a $10 million scratch ticket over the weekend.
Come on. Really?
Yeah.
It wasn't me.
I certainly wasn't me either, but I didn't know that there was a $10 million scratch ticket out there.
Well, yeah, there's prizes up to like $15 million.
Did they say
on a scratch ticket?
Did they say where in Chicopee they bought it?
Yeah.
It's probably one of them $30 ones. The ones that are high, you know, the $20 or above are usually the ones that have the 5 to 10 million, you know, and I know the $30 one, because we did the promotion for the Bass Lottery, it was like $15 million for that one scratch ticket.
$10 million is what I'm being told.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, you think about it. I mean, with inflation, like, you know, 30 years ago, that wouldn't have been something that they would be giving out. But now that, you know, people are spending a lot more money on buying these high-priced lottery tickets, and they're doing very well doing that. Those $30 tickets. Remember, we always said, you know, how is that going to sustain the lottery? But sure enough, it did.
Someone's, that's crazy.
Someone's saying
I can't even imagine that.
The Tiger Club?
Yeah, that's what I'm being told.
Really?
Oh my
gosh. I'm gonna have to join.
Hey,
no, it's the last place. It's like all of a sudden making the Pride Station became so popular after, what's her name? Won the $700 million.
But didn't they have another winner? I mean, it wasn't obviously another $700 million winner, but there was like another winner there.
Yeah, but those are high-volume purchase places. I'm imagining the Tigers Club doesn't sell quite as many scratch tickets as the Pride Station does.
You know, every now and then I'll go and I'll buy a couple of scratch tickets for my wife. She likes scratching the tickets. And I know that if I buy them, they're automatic losers. If she goes and buys them, she'll win a couple bucks. I don't know why I do it. It's like I'm literally throwing money down to the toilet.
Well, I mean, it's no different than going to the casino, but I don't buy scratch tickets. No, I think that is absolutely throwing money away.
Except,
you would rather spend ridiculous amounts of money at a blackjack table.
Well, he's exactly. disciplined though. He'll you know he's too cheap to spend to overspend.
Right.
But
once my limit gets hit, I walk away.
But then here we are. You know, we both have a friend who you know won a half mil on a scratchy, and you say nobody ever wins. You say I saw the guy win. I didn't see him win. I mean, I was like one of the first people he called.
And I heard that he didn't even pay for dinner afterwards.
No, I offered to pay for dinner afterwards.
Yeah, that's stupid.
No, it's not.
That's dumb.
No, I value our friendship more than his money.
Do you? Because
sure.
I don't. I value his money.
Value
more than
his ride.
Well, that's but that's the kind of shallow people that you two are.
I said to that guy, "I'm never buying a drink if you are around ever again." And you know what? I usually don't anyway.
Right.
Even pre-lottery win.
Exactly.
But now I'm holding them to it.
Well, that's like back in 1985 when I met a girl and she bought me a brand new car and we dated for like 4 months and then she moved away and then she comes back like a year later and now I'm married and I told my ex-wife, I said, hey, listen, Money Penny is coming back here for a weekend. Do you mind if I go have breakfast with her? And my ex-wife says, no, actually, tell her we need a new house.
Yeah.
And I go out there, and I end up buying breakfast.
See, it's probably the right thing to do.
Now, how did that transpire, though?
I don't remember.
First, it used to be like the wait staff would always put the bill in front of the male party.
Right.
But now it's being put in the center of the table.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder how that, maybe it was in your disadvantage that because you were the male party, and this was so many years ago,
mm-hmm.
that the sexist wait staff automatically handed you the check, John.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Or I might have grabbed it, you know, just to say thank you for the Jeep.
Where'd you go for breakfast? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was Ann Fields.
No. That's the lady that makes the cookies.
No. That's Mrs. Fields.
You're thinking of the Flying Nun.
No, that's Sally Fields. You're thinking about that song by the Beatles.
No,
Strawberry Fields. By the way, I've gotten two people now have sent me pictures of this $10 million scratch ticket.
Uh-huh.
And also the name of the winner. But, wow.
Hey, you know, good for them. I wish I could hit a jackpot like that.
Oh, me too. I can think of 10 million things I could do with $10 million.
After gyms were required to close yesterday under new coronavirus restrictions, one sports club in Krakow, Poland has declared itself a shop allowing customers to test equipment for a fee, and a church offering religious meetings to promote bodily care. This is how they're getting around. Hey, we're not a gym.
No.
We're a church
who
happens to have exercise equipment.
Yeah.
You don't sit in a pew. You sit in a rowing machine.
Meanwhile, hundreds of people joined a protest in Warsaw against the closure of gyms and swimming pools, arguing that if pubs and churches can stay open, so should sports facilities. See, that's the thing about... You go to other countries, and they're so strict on restricting all these things, but they're allowing bars to be open, and they're allowing all these things that are said to be here spreading the virus.
Yeah, but, you know, at some places...
But they also have a much lower set of numbers of people infected than we do.
And they also may have a different culture around alcoholism than we do.
Yeah, in a Facebook post on Friday, the Atlantic Sports Club in Krakow announced that since gyms cannot function, we are opening the Atlantic shop with exercise equipment. Everyone who wants to test our equipment for a fee is welcome, because the firm already has a business classification allowing it to carry out retail services. Quote, everything is in accordance with the law, says the club's manager. That's not a bad way to get around the loophole.
Yeah, but you know what? After a good hard workout on a Stairmaster, do you really want to be snacking on communion hosts?
Well, like going to a Planet Fitness and they have having pizza or bagels on any given day.
I'd rather have pizza and bagels than communion hosts. I mean, they don't even have a dip.
Eucaritos. You can lick the Christ off your fingertips.
These are sour cream and onion.
I've told you before, we had I knew someone who got a bag of those communion wafers before they were blessed, so it's not sacrilegious, but...
It's sacrilicious.
It's thank you, John O'Brien. Somebody always said, what does John O'Brien bring to the table? I can now say that, what he just did there. What he brings to the table.
It's taken 8 months, but right there, you can pin it.
We had a party, and we put them out as like crackers.
Yeah.
They were non-consecrated, like, wafers.
And they were mixed in with, like, you know, the regular assortment of crackers.
Right.
And it took about maybe 30 minutes for someone to realize, hey, are these communion wafers? Like, what are these?
Yeah.
But we had seven deadly sin layer dip. we had all these different kinds of dips that we made.
Perfect.
It was very good.
Now, would it have been any different if they had been consecrated hosts?
Like somebody had done something to them before?
No, like they were consecrated. They were, you know.
Well, you would be, that would be a sacrilegious type of thing if you did that, if they were like the blessed ones. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Can they be unblessed? I mean, are they only, is there an expiration date on the blessing?
I don't believe so. I think once they're blessed for life.
Well, how are you supposed to know whether they've been blessed or not?
You
got them secondhand.
Well, then you just assume.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You can't say to yourself, "Oh, well, I can't put these out as a party treat unless I find out whether they've been consecrated or not." There's no certificate of consecration.
Well, no, but I mean, but are you suggesting that someone who is telling you that these are consecrated hosts, when in fact they are not, he's lying about a consecrated host? That's like a front row seat to jail. I mean, to hell, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be.
You don't want to lie about that.
Don't have, sociopaths. They don't have any sense of guilt.
There's a 37-year-old man from Jersey City, New Jersey, named Lawrence Crook. And earlier this month, he finally lived up to being named Crook. He was arrested when someone spotted him stealing a small dumpster and some bags of stuff from a condo complex. He's charged with larceny and posted a $300 bond to get out of jail. Then, less than an hour later, he was arrested for breaking into the fire department headquarters and going through a fireman's locker. This time, he was charged with burglary. His name is Crook. It's like an ice cream man named Cone.
It is. Yeah. He had to live up to it.
That was a whole... remember that book, Freakonomics?
Yeah.
Yep.
They did a whole thing about that, about do people's names reflect the crimes they commit, you know,
or the word of their name.
What do you mean the word of their name?
In other words, whatever their name is,
yeah,
does that word reflect their personality?
Well, that's kind of what he's getting at.
Well, but I mean, they don't have to be crimes. You know, you had the guy drink wine. And, you know, what if you found out he was only a beer drinker? No, he's not. He's a wine drinker, let's say.
Yeah.
The fact that he got arrested is, you know, different, but are they only talking about people getting arrested with certain names?
Yeah, and that was the thing that they pointed out, that there really is no correlation between somebody's name and, you know, that you're more likely to be involved in a situation where your name would apply to what you've done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was more of, because it's so unique that you hear about it more, because it makes the news cycle more than anybody, any other.
I knew a guy named Burger who happened to be a vegetarian. Vegan, in fact.
See, that's weird. I knew a guy named Vegan who ate nothing but meat.
See, I know you're just being funny, but that's not true.
No, it is. I knew a whole family of them.
A whole family of them, did you?
Yeah, that's right.
A gaggle.
Ma, Pa.
Yeah, that's right. The whole family. Well, the whole vegan family was going keto, is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Your Pioneer Valley forecast today, it is going to be mostly sunny with a high of 66. Tomorrow, rainy with a high of 69. Giggity, it's 42 right now in downtown Springfield. I'm Steve Nagel, and that's the news on Rock 102. Aw, yeah.
Chris Grimaldi from Pro Tool knows how to keep pro contractors comfortable on the job site. Let's talk about heaters.
So we had the Frostfighters 500 BTUs and the Frostfighter 1 million BTUs. We also had the Flagro 400.